Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting across America. Turn it up. Hey. This
is the Bobby Bones Show. Let's go. What's happening, friends? Welcome to Friday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Thank you all for being here. Big show. Zach Brown comes up this hour. Luke Combs a little later on. Let me play this voicemail. This is from Captain Jim, retired from the U.S. Army.
Just wanted to thank you and the crew for your Pimpin' Joy patriotic merch. The stuff is awesome. I think it's great that you're trying to build a house for a wounded veteran. Being a combat wounded veteran myself, I can really appreciate what you all are doing. And Amy, if you ever decide to get divorced, give me a call.
That went interesting. I got slippery at the end there.
Okay.
You want his number?
Thank you for supporting Pimpin' Joy.
Wow, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time anyone's ever shot their shot with Amy.
Yeah, I mean, he just went for it.
She's been married the whole time forever. Okay, well, there's that. Thank you for that message. We are very proud of the work that we've all been able to do. And I don't mean we as in just this room, but we as in you listening as well. So really pumped that you guys were hopping in. And we're going to be able to build him a house for sure. So thank you so much. I do want to get to Eddie's Old Yeller review.
Yes.
Because Amy watched it. She gave her review yesterday, which you weren't able to hear.
Correct.
You went and watched Old Yeller last night.
Last night.
1957 is a movie you guys didn't know, so I made you watch it as homework.
Yeah.
Give me your review.
Well, first off, mind blown that his name is Old Yeller because of his color of his fur. I didn't realize.
The dog?
Maybe, I thought maybe he yelled or something, but no, because they say, hey, Yeller. He's yellow.
A yellow lab.
That was interesting to me. I like that right off the top. Another thing that was cool is they're in Texas. I love that. I love that Old Yeller's from Texas. They live on a ranch in Texas. Guys, this is probably the worst ending to a movie I've ever seen in my life. Like, you know how we play these games?
I know.
You know how we play these games where, like, it's like, what's the worst ending to a TV show? This is the worst ending to a movie, period.
Ever.
And then the dad comes out at the end. He's like, son, let me talk to you about life. And then he tries to make it all sugarcoated. Ah, dad, stop it. This was terrible. Hey, the movie's good, though.
No.
The movie's good.
Oh, come on. Stop.
I don't know what Walt Disney was thinking or all those execs on like trying to end it like that, but they try to keep it real.
You can spoil it, by the way, because it's been out
of 50
years.
I said it yesterday.
So you said that the little kid has to do what
shoot
he did?
Shoot the dog.
Oh, my God.
The dog.
You got hypothermia. What is some disease that I guess back in the day they had?
Rabies. He got bit by a rabid wolf.
They didn't call it rabies. They called it hypochondria or something. So, hey, I like the movie, though. It's a good movie. I think good for the family. Super, super sad, though. I wouldn't watch that again.
Did you watch it with your kids?
No, I didn't watch it with my kids.
Would you watch it with your kids?
Yeah, I think I think there's a good lesson.
Even the shooting at the end?
I think there's a good lesson in there somewhere. And I think that's what Disney was thinking about. Like, hey, let's do a real movie about loss and how to cope with loss and how to deal with loss. Because that's what they're trying to do at the end. Mm. I don't think they successfully did that.
No, and even the talk with the dad at the end was awkward. I was like, this is not... But I mean, it was 50s, probably fitting of the time. But I was like, no, this is not how you properly deal with what your son just did.
Now you guys have caught up with a piece of America's pastime.
Hey, thank you. I like the movie.
Mm-hmm. If you want to cleanse that palate,
yes.
Breaking Bobby Bones, Sunday night.
Oh,
okay. On Nat Geo.
Okay.
I'm doing, it's one called Burning Bobby Bones, where I travel to Alabama to do pipe welding. It's where I do catch myself on fire and they have to shoot me with water at one point. And then the other one is In Too Deep, where I go and do commercial diving, which was wild because I go to Seattle and I have 100 pounds of equipment on and you sink to the bottom of the ocean floor with a big line coming out of your head and you're down doing construction on the bottom of the ocean floor. It was one of the craziest things I've ever done. So I hope you guys watch 10, 9 Central on Nat Geo Sunday night, Breaking Bobby Bones. Really appreciate all you guys for watching. It's time to open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, hoping to get some advice on how to handle a situation with a coworker. I work on a team that travels to a client site for long stretches of time. Sometimes when I get bored, I open up a dating app to swipe through profiles. Recently, I came across a profile belonging to my engaged coworker, whom I would consider to be a close-ish friend. He had to have opened it up recently at the travel site because the app will not update your location unless you open it up in that new location. Should I bring it up to him? It's not far-fetched to believe he already thinks that I've seen it and he knows I'm active on apps and we're not in a big city, so there's not a lot of profiles. Should I send it to his fiance? I know she's pressuring him to have a baby and I'd hate for that to happen if he's on his way out. If I didn't spend so much time with him, I'd be more apt to stay completely out of it. But it's been hard to hear him complain about his fiance and know he may be looking to cheat. P.S. Love the new TV show. I've laughed, cried, felt all the feels. You're actually making an actual impact on people's lives. Hope you get the ratings you deserve. Love Breaking Bobby Bones. Signed, Confused Coworker. Well,
it's tough.
You don't go to the fiance, first of all. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Right.
You don't go to the fiance. If the fiance was your best friend, you go because you protect your people. Even he's just a close-ish friend. If it's me, I'm probably staying out of it. If he's my close friend, like close to best friend, you know, top, you know, if a friend that goes on your five fingers, top five friend, I'm going, hey, what's up? I saw you on a dating profile.
Yeah, but it seems like he's just a coworker. Coworker
that, happens
a lot of time
to be friends
with.
Because of the. I think I just keep my mouth shut for now. Mm. That's what. It doesn't feel like the good person thing to do, but it's also not my business.
Yeah, and she's worried about the maybe baby that, like, that's just, she's taking on too many things to worry about that are not for her to worry about. I mean, yes, that would be sad, but who knows? We don't know their entire circumstances at all. So I would just say, yeah, you're worrying about stuff you don't need to worry about.
If he was a closer friend or she was a closer friend, that's when you jump in. The only time you get in drama is if you almost have to get involved in drama. That's how I feel about it in my life. I don't want anything to do with any drama at all. The only time I'll get into it, if it's somebody I'm close to, if it's Amy, if it's Eddie, I'll get in the drama, but I'm going to get in, try to fix it, and then get back out of it. I have no need to be in drama. This is one of those situations where I don't think you mess with it.
Yes. No longer confused coworker. Problem solved.
There's the answer.
Eddie?
I'm torn, and I think part of it, too, is that it's a fiancé and not a wife, and they don't have a lot of kids. I feel like you don't want to sit back and kind of, like, because you know what's happening. You see the account and everything, and I feel like if you can help, why not
but
help?
How do you help?
Just by saying, hey, I was on this app. Are you on this, too?
Is that your business?
Are
you on it, too? They're engaged.
I know. And I feel like there's an opportunity there if she wants to help. She can help, but at the same time, you're not really saving like a marriage from divorce or anything like that because they're just engaged. So
What does that mean? Help? Let's say, I'll be the guy. You're the girl. Ask mm-hmm. me.
Hey, I'm on a dating app, and I know that you're engaged. I see you on there.
You would say that to
that would be.
You would say that to a close-ish friend. I don't think you would. I don't think you would. It's just hard
like,
because
are you doing it in a helpful way or a judgy way?
Well, no. It's
if
a
you're
helpful...
like, hey, I want to help you with your profile.
Not helpful like that, but helpful like, hey, like maybe you shouldn't either. You shouldn't be or like, what's the help?
I think you say that you see in there like, I know you're engaged. Like, are you okay? Is everything all right in your engagement?
And they go, no, please help me.
Okay, cool. Well, then good luck dating. I don't know. I just feel like there's something there.
The bad person thing to do feels like not doing anything, but I think it's also mind your own business. I'm a big believer in mind your own business unless somebody's getting hurt or it's somebody you're super close to. Otherwise, mind your own business. I don't feel like a good person, but that's how I feel. Mind your own business. 2 versus 1.
Yeah.
And Eddie claims he would. I'm telling you, he wouldn't do that.
I was just trying to find a different...
He would just text me and be like, did you see the person on the message on the dating app?
I probably would do that.
All right. Sorry to not give you better advice. But just lay back. Thank you. That's the mailbag.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Morgan, if they want to email us, what do they do?
Mailbag@BobbyBones.com.
There you go.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go!
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Zach Brown.
Zach, what's up, buddy?
How are you, man?
Hey, good. Where are you right now?
I'm in Nashville.
So are you here most of the time now, or are you still down in Georgia a lot?
I'm both. I'm in between.
So if someone said, Zach, where do you live? What would you say?
I would say a little bit of everywhere. Just like, but I'm, you know, I would say main home base is in Georgia, but I'm transitioning. I'm getting everything ready to be able to split time. And I like being here, man. I've enjoyed being here to record and arrange, and got a good spot here now. So I'm excited to spend more time here.
You got a new song called Same Boat. You wrote this yourself, obviously. So you go into the room to write this song. Like, the concept, does it come up from like a note someone had in their phone? How does Same Boat come together?
This was actually an idea that was brought to me. Ben and Jonathan Singleton actually brought this idea in, and then we started working on it, and it just started being magic, man. It just started coming out, and it's just a fun, it's a fun song if you want to listen to it on that level, but there's a message there if you want to listen on that level too. So you can smash a margarita while you're listening to it and have a good time, or get a little, you know, a little message as well. How are you doing, man?
Oh, I'm good. I mean, this ain't about me, Zach. We ain't talked to you in forever. I sit here and talk to people all day about me all the time. So let's just, I'm doing good though. I'm getting married for the first time. Thank you for asking. Now I feel uncomfortable. For some reason, I feel uncomfortable now that Zach has asked about me.
Yeah, he turned it on
you. He turned it on me. I wasn't ready for that. Hey, when you guys get back out on the road, Zach, you have 15 number ones or so, and you also have new music. How are you balancing that set list between the number ones, the new music, the amazing covers that you guys do? Like, what goes on in a meeting there?
Man, it's exciting just having my guys back together again, just being able to be in a room and rehearsing. We've already started rehearsing for the band. I mean, after being off like this, man, I'm on fire to get out and play. I've been on fire to write this music. I've been on fire to, like, get the world back together again and remind people what America really is and not what's been shown on the media for the last year and a half. Like, I'm really excited to just go out and do what we do. I feel very rejuvenated after being off and after being away from people so long.
Super excited to have you back. And if you guys are listening to this now, I've seen Zach a few times, and holy crap, what a show it is. I mean, it's everything you think it would be with the massive hits, but also they just do such a big show, and all of a sudden they'll do Dave Matthews Band or Metallica, and you're like, wow, I can't believe they did that. Then they'll play new music, and most times I don't even want to hear new music, but I'm like, dang, that's a good song. So you guys go check out Zach, the comeback tour. I have a whole page of dates here, but starting August 5th in New Jersey all the way to October 17th. So you're Nico Moon, who's a friend of ours now, is a friend of yours as well, wrote a bunch of songs with you and even came in with you back in the Sir Roosevelt days. He had a number one. Like, how do you feel about, like, one of your guys making it now on a different level?
I'm super happy for it, man. You know, I saw Nico playing at the Mansion in Carrollton, Georgia, like, forever ago. And I believed in him ever since I saw him play the very first time. So I'm super happy for him doing his own thing, being out there. And you know, his songs are popping up now on my kids. My kids are listening to, you know, playlists and stuff, and Nico pops up on these playlists, and it definitely makes me proud. He deserves it, man. He's super talented and a great human also.
Zach Brown is on with us. He's got a new song that we world premiered today. You still get nervous when a new song comes out, or are you mostly just relieved that you're finally able to get the song you've been working on so long to be played for people?
No, I'm excited, man. I'm like the same fire that I had when we made our first album. That's the same fire that I've got again coming back out with this record, man. I'm super excited. I think we've written the best record start to finish that we've ever done. And I've been able to spend more time writing on it and working on it than anyone that I've ever done. So I'm really excited. And this is the beginning of it. You know, it's hard to pick, like, which song is going to represent the album, you know? Like, what does that look like? You want to, you know, and are people going to think that all the songs are going to be like this? You know, but we've got a good a really great flow. It was hard to pick which song was going to be the first one.
Aside from music, which I would say you're an expert at music, what else would you consider yourself an expert at?
You know, I dabble in a lot of things. Man, my favorite thing in the world to do is to spearfish.
Do you go down? Yeah. You swim down and you throw the spear in the water? Is that how that works, or do you do it from the boat?
No, you do it in the water.
You know one day these fish are going to get upset and they're going to ambush you, right? Like I see McGraw too spearfishing. And you know one day you're going to run into a whole group of these fish that are a little bigger than you that have heard rumors about you and they're going to take you down. Does that worry you?
Not at all, man. You know, you kind of at the mercy of the ocean. And so if that's the way that I'm supposed to go, then so be it, man. I'll take the Viking approach. If they're going to carry me, let's do it.
I saw a picture on your personal Instagram of you playing pool. Are you a good pool player?
I don't golf. I maybe will learn one day, but when I'm an old, crusty old guy, if I make it that far, I want to be a really good pool player. So I've been practicing at the house, got my kids playing at the house, and it's something I definitely enjoy doing.
Can you go out somewhere and have, because if you're not wearing like the Zac Brown look from Zac Brown Band, can you go out and have a dinner without people bothering you or knowing who you are? Or are you so unmistakable, even just with the beard in your face, that people are like, that's Zac Brown?
No, man, I slide by a lot. You know, occasionally people recognize me, but, you know, in Georgia where I live and then around Nashville, people are cool. You know, sometimes people notice and it's not a big deal. You know, I'm really not a big deal. I'm just a dude, you know, but I don't pander attention if I'm not on a stage, you know, so I'm happy just sliding by and getting to sneak, you know, under the radars is pretty good, man. And I get away with it a lot, you know, with a ball cap on. And sometimes, you know, when I'm off the road, I'll kind of cut my beard short too, and people don't even recognize me.
How many tattoos do you have at this point? Because it's head to toe, right?
It's not exactly. I have a lot more space for it. But I do. My tattoo artist is here in Nashville, Adam the Kid. And he's just awesome, man. You get a tattoo from him, he doesn't dig too deep, man. He gets it done quick, it heals quick, and it's just like he makes it easy.
Adam the Kid is also my tattoo artist, and he's also come and guest hosted our show before. And so, you know, just a super creative guy. Does he put tattoos like on your head? Do you have tattoos on your head at all? Do you have tattoos on like under your arm, like weird places? What happens there?
Well, there are places that definitely hurt more than other places. And it's weird places like you wouldn't think, like on your elbow or like, you know, I mean, for me, like this side piece of my finger, like the inside between your fingers, like that made me want to throw up.
Why would you get it? Yeah. Why?
Well, he didn't know it was going to make him feel that way.
I feel like Zach's like Jeff Bezos. Like he's so successful. He has so much money. He's so creative. Now he's just doing stuff because he's bored. Like he's done everything at this point. So he's like, all right. Tattoo in between my thighs, right there in that little spot, because that'll make me feel. Like, is there anything to that, Zach?
No, actually, this was my wedding band, and I was blessed to be married for 12 years. But that was so I didn't lose my ring, and so that was the reason that I had it on the inside of my finger. But that little tiny spot between was the worst of anything, the worst ever.
Well, we're glad you're back. We're glad you got a new song. We can't wait for the record. We can't wait for the tour. We played the new one called Same Boat from Zac Brown. Zach, it is good to talk to you, my friend, and hopefully I'll see you around town sometime soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Bobby.
Good to see you,
awesome
bud.
Day, man. Bobby Bones.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Lady A announced a new project, What a Song Can Do, Chapter 1. That's dropping on June 25th. Here's a new song from it called Things He Handed Down.
Oh, the things he handed down. Yeah, I still got that Bible, that leather-bound King James on. I swear every verse you underlined.
Zac Brown Band was on the show today and shared his new song called Same Boat.
We're all in the same boat, fishing in the same hole, one with the same time goal.
Brad Paisley is headlining the 4th of July show in Nashville. And ahead of the big show, he released a new song called City of Music.
And the City of Music. Second string quarterback, junior transfer, learning how to play guitar. He bought a ring for his high school girlfriend right before she broke his heart.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny. Come on.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Gabe and Evelyn were out for a drive when they came upon a fire. They're like, oh no! They call 911, but before the fire department could get there, they're like, we gotta try to put this thing out. So they're throwing blankets, trying to get the fire to go out, and they get it to a little smolder, but there's still embers, and they're worried, oh no, it's gonna start back up. And they see a guy heading to the lake, and they're like, hey man, can you help us out? He had a 30-pack of beer, so they poured the beer.
Oh.
And put it out.
I wonder what that guy thought. Like, I got to give my beer up?
I bet he thought twice about it.
Yeah, he had to. He's going fishing. He was going to use that beer all day, but they used the beer to smother the fire.
I like the story because I know that was a tough one for that guy. Whoever this, I feel like he's not getting the credit he deserves in this.
That's right.
Yeah.
That had to be a tough call for him. Like, you
every
want,
beer is like, oh,
you
man.
You want my Coors Light? I had a whole day planned. Well, he did it. They did it together as a team. That's a great story. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's now time for our Queen of Fun Facts, Amy, to take on her newest challenger, Lunchbox. Let's go. Fun Fact Friday off.
Fun Fact Friday.
We'll count them down. 5-1. You'll put out a fact. He'll put out a fact. We'll declare a winner. The person with the most points wins. Good?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Start us off.
Number 5.
Amy, since you're the champion, you go first.
Yeah, so Neil Armstrong's life insurance would have cost him $50,000 a year because his line of work, but he only made $17,000 a year. So obviously that didn't make sense. So he signed hundreds of autographs before his launch so that his family could sell them in case he died and they would have money.
Wow.
That's a cool fact.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And obviously he survived, thank goodness.
Lunchbox.
Oh, yeah, that's easy, guys. Okay. Did you know that hummingbirds, because Amy loves birds, are the only birds that can fly backwards? Yeah, they have a special joint that allows them to fly backwards and upside down. Only birds in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Eddie, Raymundo, myself are the judges today. What's more fun, Neil Armstrong or hummingbirds? Eddie?
I mean, you kind of know Neil Armstrong's worried about dying, so that's kind of like, okay. But hummingbirds flying backwards and upside down, that's pretty cool to me. I think Amy would agree, too.
Well, who'd you pick?
So I go with Lunchbox.
See, I've known the hummingbird since like second grade.
You have?
Yeah, they like teach you that normal...
Upside down like a fighter jet? That's cool.
I'm going to go Neil Armstrong, signing autographs in case he died. Raymundo?
Amy all the way. We can walk backwards real cool.
Oh, that's true. They're flying though, Ray.
Okay. Well, Amy won, Lunchbox 0. Hit number 4.
Number 4.
Amy, you're up.
So the U.S. Department of Defense buys more explosive devices than anyone else in the world. You know who's at number 2?
Oh, okay. Disney for fireworks.
Any other guesses?
Well, that's good. Something pyro. Good one. Jason Aldean. Got him.
Were we right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you would think it might be another country or something, but no, it's Disney. Walt Disney Company, because of all the fireworks to buy for their parks. So they're second in line to the U.S. Department of Defense.
Dang.
And third?
I just guessed that.
Aldean.
Third for sure, Aldean, yeah. Lunchbox.
Oh, yeah. Did you know Sony camcorders in 1998, they sold 700,000 of them where you could see through people's clothes? They wanted it to be able to be seen at used at night, and they actually put infrared technology so you were seeing through people's clothes. They had to recall them.
You see the skeleton or?
No, through their clothes. Like you could see, like you're trying to film someone. But
I don't think that's real.
I remember hearing about that like in the news and stuff, but I don't think it really was like as cool as they made it sound.
Is Mike D doing a Snopes fact checked on this?
You could see their underwear and everything underneath their clothes because of the infrared technology.
Does infrared work in the daytime though?
Don't know. What it does.
It's used to see at night.
Okay, so.
It was an accident. Yeah.
Okay, there we have it. He looked it up.
There's a technology that can allow you to see like private parts. Or something? I feel like you see the bone or like the structure. You can't actually see the part, can you?
I don't know, but it's Mike D fact checked it. It is true.
It's a fact.
Let's pick which one is more fun. Raymundo.
Because it's true, Lunchbox was seen through clothes.
Eddie?
I mean, I don't remember Amy's now, so I'm going to go with Lunchbox.
Me too.
Same. Me too. And I guessed it like as a normal guess. I was like, yeah probably Disney.
Oh. Sorry, yeah. Amy.
So I just have to filibuster between mine. And then you'll
forget. You filibuster for like an hour.
You filibuster every show all day long. All right, 1-1. All right, here we go.
Number 3.
Lunchbox, you're up.
We all know Ed McMahon from
Publishers Clearinghouse.
Yeah. What's crazy is he never worked for Publishers Clearinghouse. Did you know he worked for a rival company that tried to do the same thing as Publishers Clearinghouse, and they just associated with him, and so they never put the myth to bed that he works for them. So they got all the publicity.
Ed McMahon's business went out of business.
Wait, what?
But didn't he go work for Publishers Clearing House at the end?
He never worked for Publishers Clearing House.
But then how's he all in the commercials?
Yeah, he's in their commercials.
He is not in their commercials. You think he's in their commercials.
Weird.
He is not.
Huh? Lunchbox is just changing fact. I mean, he's just coming out and doing Mythbusters instead of, okay.
That's a fact.
Mike D checked it out for us. Wow.
We double check all his facts.
It's true.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know how terribly fun it is, but it's still, it's interesting.
So how is it not him? Did they generate him into the commercials?
No.
I mean, he would knock on the door.
But I don't think it was Publishers Clearing
House. It was probably another company, Amy. Yeah. That's what we're saying.
Oh, okay.
All right, Amy.
At the peak of his power, Pablo Escobar brought in an estimated $420 million in revenue every week. That's $420 million selling drugs a week.
That's a lot of money.
Okay. Raymundo?
Both of them kind of were terrible.
Amazing. What? Yeah, both looked pretty terrible.
But I'm just going to go with Lunchbox. It was a little bit more fascinating that we thought a guy was in a commercial, but he really wasn't. We just associated him with it.
Morgan, do you know who Ed McMahon is?
No idea.
Yeah, that was the thing on that one. It's not that fun for anybody under, I don't know.
80.
Eddie?
I mean, the Pablo Escobar thing, Amy, I kind of figured that. He was very rich and so loved
drugs. But did you think it was that much?
Yeah, I mean, in the
$420 million
in the movie,
a week?
He burns money to keep warm.
I know.
Like, so I assume.
Buried money all over.
So I'm going to go with Lunchbox.
I'm going to go with Lunchbox, too. They both were pretty rotten, though, I'll be honest with you. All right, Lunchbox got 2 points. Lunchbox is up.
Number two.
Oh, we love pizza. Everyone loves pizza. Did you know in America, we eat about 100 acres of pizza every single day? That's right. That's how much pizza is eaten every day by Americans. 100 acres.
Okay. Amy, you have to get this to stay in the game.
So in 1978, Richard Branson, he wanted to impress his girlfriend by pretending to buy a private island. The island was listed for $6 million, and he offered $100,000 as a joke. But the owner settled and said, okay, I'll sell it to you for $180K.
What?
And Branson was like, what? And that is what we call Necker Island today, my friend.
That's crazy.
Dang. Okay. Eddie.
I'm going to go offer a bunch of like $1 million. I'm going to buy $50,000 for that $1 million house. Amy, I love your fact. I'm going to go with Amy on this.
What was yours again, Lunchbox?
100 acres of pizza a day.
Those are always weird when it's like, did you know 42 million pounds of wings will be consumed on Super Bowl by all? And I'm like, I don't know what that means. Tell me per person. Raymundo?
Amy for the win.
Yeah, okay, Amy as well. Okay, we're all down to the final fun fact. It all comes down to this one. Whose ever fact is more fun is the fun fact champion of the week.
Oh, this is the last one?
This is it.
Oh,
do you have one in your back pocket?
No, I don't. Oh, no, don't ask Mike for advice.
No, I'm not asking advice. I think I've done it, but I can't remember.
We'll be the judge of that, Amy.
Y'all won't remember, but then if I've done it, I could risk it. Then it's so good, though.
Okay, here we go. Hit that number one, Raymundo.
Number one.
Who goes, me?
You won that one, so you go first.
Have I done this one?
Go ahead.
I don't know. Oh, man. When Jack Nicholson... Does that sound familiar?
Just do this fun.
When Jack Nicholson was 37, he found out that the woman he thought was his sister was actually his mother.
I haven't heard that one before.
Okay. Me either. I've never heard of that.
So his mom got pregnant when she was 16, and the family was like, whoa, like, you can have the baby, stay with us, and we'll raise him. So his grandmother was his mom.
Like the mom.
Uh-huh. And then when he was 37 years old, he realized.
He was that old before he realized
that's
it?
That's what I said. Dang. When Jack Nicholson was 37, he found out the woman he thought was his sister was his mother.
Okay. That's like me now, basically, just a few years ago, going... Yeah. You're not my mom, you're my sister?
No, you're not my sister, you're my mom. Crazy.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Okay. That's sad, it's not fun.
Well.
It is fun.
Very interesting.
It is. Go ahead, Lunchbox.
Oh, yeah. Matthew McKnight, he holds the world record for the greatest distance thrown in a car accident and living. Oh, yeah. He's an off-duty paramedic.
What?
He pulls over to help someone on the side of the road, and a car going 70 miles an hour hits him, and he flies 118 feet. That's half a football field, and he lived. Woohoo! That's incredible, and that's what we call miracles do happen.
That's traumatic.
It is traumatic for his whole life, too.
No, he was like, the nurse...
Both of those are trauma-filled.
Yeah, the nurse told him, you should send that into the Guinness Book of World Records. He's like, yeah, right. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
All right, Ray?
Congrats to Matthew McKnight, but not to Lunchbox.
What? We've heard that. We've heard the Jack Nicholson.
I've never heard the sister mom one.
Did you know the details? When have you heard it? Yes. No, he's lying. He's lying.
Eddie, have you ever heard that before?
Never heard that in my life.
Okay,
Ray goes Amy. Eddie?
Ooh, this is tough. Tougher than I thought. Michael McKnight, kind of fun. But I've never heard this Jack Nicholson one, so that's pretty crazy to me. I'm going Amy.
Yeah, I'm going Amy. And there she is. She wins again. Yeah. The grand champion of Fun Facts. One. Wow. Look at you. You can't take down the grand champion.
It's hard.
It is hard.
No, I mean, I'm saying today was hard. Good job, Lunchbox.
Lunch pushed her to the limit, though.
Yeah. Said good job.
No.
I had to.
I'll remember this next week, Eddie, when you're up.
I'd call
No, there's no keeping
what did I do?
Now Lunchbox just banned himself from judging next week. A comment like that. Me, Morgan, and Ray will have to be the judges now because we have a corrupt judge. Okay, Amy, congratulations. You are the Fun Fact Friday champion. There she is, Amy, everybody.
Fun Fact Friday.
Yay! Here's a voicemail we got last night.
I was just listening to the podcast, and I just heard about Amy's mammogram experience. And I'm actually a mammographer in Florida, and I just wanted to say thank you, Amy, for spreading the word about how mammography is a great tool for, you know, early indication of breast cancer and how important self-exams are and how we're not the scariest people. I promise. Mammographers are nice people, too. So thank you, guys, and keep supporting the good word. Have a great day.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I didn't know that's they were mammographers.
I call them mammies.
Yeah.
Here's Alicia from Seattle.
Morning, studio. Ray, you are an inspiration for my best friend's wedding that I'm going to in Europe in 3 weeks. Thanks, guys. I hope I see many Rays at that wedding like I saw on the Instagram story. Thanks.
Ray, you've become a cult hero for how drunk you were at Mike D's wedding.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a positive influence on people, but I mean, I guess I inspired her.
People are now going, hey, if Ray's at your wedding and he doesn't do that, will that be disappointing? Mm. No.
No, it'd be great.
No, it'd be fantastic.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bob Bone Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So a Texas woman is sounding the alarm after finding a tracking device in her purse after an evening out. She went out to dinner with some friends, and when she got home, she was cleaning out her bag, and she found one of those tile trackers, something you can put with your wallet or your purse or your keys. So if you lose them, you can track them down. Only problem is, it did not belong to her. So she thinks it was slipped into her bag by somebody that then could track where she was going.
Follow her home.
Yes.
Creepers, know where she lives.
And I think as long as you stay within a certain distance, yes, you can track it. So if it was someone that was at the same restaurant, then yeah, he's just look at her and then, you know, he'll kind of know where she's going.
That's freaky stuff.
It is, for sure. She said she took the little, I don't know if there's a battery, or she somehow deactivated it and contacted the police and then put a PSA up on TikTok.
But what do you do? Go through your purse before you leave every single place? That's the thing. Like, what do you do to prevent that? I mean, you're already watching for creepos around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Or maybe just make sure you've got a handle on where your purse is at all times and that it's not open or available for someone to slip something in.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, if people are sneaky and good at this, then that's obviously what they've trained themselves to do, is for you not to catch them.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So Maren Morris was saying that Ryan Hurd is super outgoing and she is really shy. And she says that his outgoing trait is one that she wishes that she had.
I'm like very shy. I consider myself an introvert. So yeah, if we ever walk into a room and I don't know anyone, I feel like he'll be okay. But I need like a drink in my hand or something to feel like, okay, I can have this conversation.
So is there a characteristic of Caitlin's that you wish you had?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, she is very much a natural athlete. When we play ball, she's the best athlete out there. She may not win because sometimes she's like, yeah, I'm good, I'm tired. But she's the best shooter. Her family's very athletic. I wish I had a sort of natural ability. She's also funnier than I am, which stinks. That's all I've been rewarded for my whole life. And then she's smarter than I am. So basically, I wish I could just take her and then crawl inside her body and just be her. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of that. But she's also very good in a room where I'm not. Where I'm a bit like Maren. I walk into a room and if I'm not on, like if it's not, oh, he's here to perform or he's here to do something, I'm like, man, nobody wants to talk to me. And so I'm very much like, oh, I'm just going to hang out in the back. Where she will go right into a room and attack a room and make people like her. But yeah, I mean, so everything. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. So Hershey's has a new fruity cereal Kit Kat. The bars are covered in fruity cereal flavored cream.
I don't like this.
Why?
If you're going to make Kit Kat cereal, make it with the chocolate.
Yeah, no, why change the candy?
Fruity Kit Kat that's not a Kit Kat.
I'm with you on this.
Oh, I am excited about this. And it hits stores this month, so you should be able to find it nationwide. And it basically is this pretty pink Kit Kat with little rainbow sprinkles in it. First of all, that looks appealing to me. And then it tastes like Fruit Loops.
But that's not a Kit Kat. A Kit Kat's chocolate wafer bars.
But they make mint.
They invented a new Kit Kat so they can invent a cereal.
But didn't when you went to Japan, didn't they have like a bunch of...
But we're not in Japan, had cereal.
They have lemon ones. They have mint.
What's the deal? What cereal?
Didn't they have wasabi flavor?
They had it all.
That's crazy.
Wow, I thought you were this.
I think it would be good, but it's not Kit Kat.
Okay,
right. Call it Fruit Cat.
I don't know why I'm so upset about this.
Well, it's a limited edition Kit Kat.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Whatever.
All right. I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Come on. It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So this guy, Mike, was driving along in Charlotte when he saw a duck in distress. And it was circling a storm drain, freaking out. So he pulled over to see what was troubling the
duck. Who would
have
pulled over, first of all, if they saw a duck?
I would now, because a duck is a bird.
For a duck?
A duck is on my bird chart.
I guess it depends if I'm on the interstate or not. If I'm on a road where I can, I don't even know that I'd be looking, honestly. I like to think I would. So I'm going to go yes if it's a road where I'm not endangering anybody else. But go ahead.
So he pulled over. He realized when he looked down the storm drain that the duck was circling, there was 7 little ducklings down there. And the mama duck could not get to them. So he tried lifting the iron gate, but it was huge and heavy. So he flagged down someone else to pull over and help him remove the gate. And once they were able to do that, he reached down there and rescued the little ducklings one by one and laid them in the grass. And slowly but surely, even when just a few of the ducklings were getting out into the grass, the mama duck started calming down. She's like, oh, everyone's going to be safe now. So cool. Mike said the experience was so emotional, he admitted that he cried after it.
I saw a story about a guy, I think it was like 6 or 7 years ago. He saved a hippo. There was a baby hippo in a river, and the hippo had lost his mom. And he goes in and he saves the hippo and raises him. And in the 6 years, the hippo gotten bigger and they'd gotten close. And he took him back to the river part where he had rescued him, and the hippo ate him.
What is this?
Wait, is this a true story?
Yes.
What? Ate him?
Yeah.
What kind of story is this?
A true one.
And why? Why did he eat him?
He's a hippo.
So, Amy, keep reading your story. Hippo, did the duck eat hippo. The guy?
No, but I'm telling you. The hippo did what hippos do.
Yeah, they eat people.
They eat people.
Tell me something good.
I know, but I read that one. And I've been meaning to tell that on the air for a long time.
Wow.
But what I'm going to do is tell a story, too, that says if you save a hippo, put him back in the water before he's able to eat you.
Oh, it was Humphrey the hippo.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
You looked it up?
This is real?
Yeah.
He had Marius, a hippo since he was 5 months old. So he had 5 months old.
And 6 years later, Humphrey ate him.
Man, Humphrey
drug him in that
him.
Same river. And
he went alone?
That's what I'm saying. Don't be dumb with animals. Save them. Give them to their mommy. Then go back to your home with your mommy.
but good
for that guy, too. He did save a hippo.
Wow. It's crazy.
And then fed one.
Okay, well, shout out Mike, who saw a distressed duck and decided to help.
Is that story bad for the Tell Me Something Good?
No, I think it's amazing.
It's been in my head for like 3 weeks, and I haven't found a way to tell it.
Hey, Bones is a safe place.
Amy triggered that story, that memory. I was like, oh, I got to tell this story about the guy who saved the hippo.
It's like you're doing a The More You Know
inside,
of, which is always good to let people know things.
Yeah.
So it's good.
There you go. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here's a voicemail we got last night.
Morning, studio. I have a joke. What did the cannibal get for showing up to the dinner party late? The cold shoulder. Thanks. Bye.
Good one.
That's pretty funny. Let's go over to Amy now and get the morning corny.
The morning corny.
What did one Dorito farmer say to the other?
What did one Dorito farmer say to the other?
Cool ranch.
Cool ranch.
Hey,
That's pretty good.
That was the morning corny.
Just a reminder, Sunday night at 10, 9 central, Breaking Bobby Bones, 2 more episodes for all our Seattle listeners. I was in Seattle, out on the ocean, doing underwater construction. It's crazy. I hope you guys watch 10, 9 central on Nat Geo. Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Luke Combs.
Luke, how are you, dude?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I was watching your Instagram. You were in the studio. I didn't hit the volume up because I think I was at a place where I couldn't listen, but I saw you singing in studio. You're in like a dark t-shirt. You had some papers in front of you on a music stand. I'm assuming that's for the new record you're recording right now?
Definitely, yeah.
When you go in and you got all these songs, do you feel like, because your first two records have been monsters, do you feel like, hey, we got to beat that? Or is it like, we just got to get to where I am creatively right now? Like, what's the goal with the next project?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I mean, obviously you want everything to be better than the last thing. So I guess there is a little bit of pressure in that sense, but also just want it to be what I want it to be in a lot of ways. You know, like I want it to, you know, match the songs that I've written for this thing. So I think it's trying to find a balance of both.
Did you do the thing where, you know, you pretty much have the whole record ready and then you wrote something like the day before and you're like, wow, this one's got to go on the record?
I mean, yeah, I've been known to do that, and I definitely have done that recently, man. But we can't say that because then every writer will try to be right. You know, we'll try to get a date like right before I go in, you know. Everyone will be like, oh, well, he just likes it more because it's new. You know, so they'll all be trying to get their day switched to like right the day before I go in the studio, you know.
Are there any songs that will go on the new project that you had and that you didn't put on, you know, the first couple records?
No, there won't be anything that's like a leftover stuff. It'll be stuff that I've written. It's all stuff that I've written since those came out, you know. Barring the deluxe of the most recent album, there's some stuff that I wrote before the deluxe of the most recent album that I feel like didn't fit that particular thing. But yeah, everything is pretty much new.
Luke Combs is on with us right now. So let's say you write a whole bunch of songs for the first record or the second record and you didn't cut them. Now, do you end up just releasing them into the wild to go, hey, if anyone wants to cut this, I wrote it, you can?
Man, I have, but I haven't had a lot of takers on that, to be honest with you, man. And I feel like I got some stuff that's pretty solid, you know, because I can only put out so many songs. But I don't know, sometimes people, I feel like maybe people think, and rightfully so, maybe they think like, well, if he's not cutting it, well, then maybe it's not good enough or something, which is not necessarily the case. You know, I just have really great songs that don't necessarily fit what I'm trying to do. And I would love for somebody else to do them, you know.
When you cut the demos, will you sing them or do you let another one of the writers sing them so they don't get leaked?
No, I sing. I usually sing them 90% of the time. I just sing. Usually nobody has them but me and the writers. So if they get leaked, I know who to call anyway.
I was watching the Forever After All video, and you cry in the video. Did you know beforehand you were going to cry? Because I'm worried about this with me. I'm getting married coming up. Did you know beforehand you were probably going to cry, or was it just like a wave of emotion?
Man, I was honestly... like, I was like, man, what if I don't cry? Like, I almost had more anxiety about that. Like, I was like, what would that say about me as a guy if I didn't cry? You know what I mean? And not that I tried to, because I was thinking like, man, I was like, if I don't cry, then like, you know, is people going to think I'm like, you know, this like cold guy? But yeah, it was really just like a rush of emotion thing. Like, it wasn't like, man, I'm definitely going to cry. It just happened. You know, it was like so not unexpected, because I think people kind of expect you to cry in that moment. But I was, yeah, it was just like a wave of the second I saw her. It was just a crazy rush of emotion.
Did you write your own vows?
We didn't. We did not, man. We went. I know that's probably surprising, but we didn't, man. You know, we just went with the standard thing.
Let me ask you this, and I'll stop with me taking advice about a wedding. But what's the one thing that you spent money on at the wedding where you're like, you know, I don't think we need to spend that much money on this at the wedding?
I don't know, man. Like I think it was like, I mean, I think the thing that the food was just for everyone else, really. Like, we didn't really get to eat that much at all, because you're like doing stuff all day, you know? And then you're like, oh, everyone's like, man, the food was so good. And then you kind of realize that you didn't really have much food at all. You had like one bite of one thing. So obviously you need the food for everyone else, so that you can't really take that advice. But that was the one thing that you're like, man, it's so expensive, and I really didn't get to have any of it either. So
on with Luke Combs. Last time I saw you, we were both at the finale of American Idol. I guess we saw each other briefly. You're walking down the hall, and yeah. you go up and you sing with Chase and you crush it. And my fiance was there, and she was like, she had asked this question. She goes, when Luke started out, did he start out as the guy who just wanted to go and represent everybody and wear what he's wearing on stage all the time? Or did he just get successful so quick and he's like, wow, this is already working, let's just keep at it? Like, was it the plan, or was it kind of thrust upon you because it was already working?
No, I think it was the plan. You know, it was always to be kind of just like, man, you wear the same thing. And I don't know, you know, like I've always just kind of enjoyed that. It makes it easy for me, you know, to have to go, well, this is what I'm going to wear tonight. You just change the boots and the hat most of the time. And sometimes you don't even change the hat. You just wear different boots or jeans or something, you know? And so, I don't know. I just always like that, man. I like people. I try to make it as like as less about me as possible. Is that as weird as that sounds? You know, like I want it to be about the songs and the music and the show. And, you know, like I've never wanted to be like a me guy, like, you know, look at me kind of thing. And so I think the outfit is kind of, is just part of that thing. Like I just want to people to like my music, really. You know what I mean?
I saw Darius on his Instagram, like, hey, I need some Crocs, some Luke Combs Crocs, and he got some. And so I just wonder, in your house, is there just like a closet full of Crocs of all sizes that you can just send out to your buddies?
I wish, man, because I get a lot of requests for those things, and they're just, they're like gone, you know? Like, people are like, you can get more, right? And I'm like, no, I can't. There's not any more to be had, you know? Like, I don't even wear my pair because I'm worried that they'll get all, like, dirty and stuff. And then I won't even have a pair left anymore, you know?
Luke Combs on with us. You're playing 2 shows in Orange Beach, Alabama, July 3rd and 4th. These will be your first headlining shows since February of last year. So are you already thinking about what you're going to start the whole show with? Is that a bigger deal now since you haven't had a show in a long time, like a real one?
Yeah. You know, I've had a few conversations about, you know, what's going to be on the screens and what's the set list going to be. Cause I think we have, I mean, 3 or 4 like number one songs that we've never played for an audience before, you know, which is like, so we've got to kind of retool the set like based around that. Cause obviously those are songs that you can't skip now. And so we've got to figure out, we're getting to the point where there's not many spots in the set for like stuff that we normally don't do, which we like to do that. We like to go, oh, well, here's a song off the first album that we don't play a lot. We'll play that one tonight. You know, so there's less of those spots now. So figuring out what's going to be in those spots is kind of the challenge of that.
Whenever you play a song and it's like the opening riff or the beginning before you sing, which song that you've been able to play live gets the loudest pop from the crowd?
Man, I mean, Hurricane's hard to beat just because of that SIG riff, you know, like on the top of it is like so big and like recognizable. And it was my first single, but I know there's not even an intro to, I mean, When It Rains, It Pours is up there. Like it just comes in as like cold vocal before the music even starts. And that one gets, I mean, people get pretty wild about that one too, but I guess we'll see, man. I guess maybe things have changed in the last 16 months. I don't know.
How meticulous is the single picking process now?
I think it's just kind of an instinct thing, really. It's like, you know, you have this stuff, you go in and record it and you think, well, man, you know, 90% of the time, I feel like we have a pretty good grip of what people are going to love. And then, you know, there is that 10% of the time where I get really surprised. I'm like, man, I really thought they were going to love this song and they didn't, or I didn't think they would love this song as much and they do. So you also have to be willing to listen to the fans, because they're the ones that at the end of the day, really, you know, they're the ones that really pick what the single is based off of, you know, what they like the most and what they're most engaged with. And, you know, we try to you know, get songs on the radio that we think people want to hear on there.
I'm going to ask you one final question about, you know, the next bit of new music. Like, when do we get to hear something more than just on Instagram? Like, give me a nugget here.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm going into the studio one more time and we should be done, you know, by then. I think, you know, we're going in this month. I mean, I guess it's June now. And so we're going in this month to do some more stuff. And, you know, once we get all those sorted, I don't know, I'm like fall probably, I would hope. You know, I guess it all just depends on, you know, obviously there's some strategy involved in that release date, but I think it's probably fall, I would hope.
So are you saying there'll be another single from this, or are you done until the new record after this one?
I think there's probably going to have to be.
Okay. You want to say what that is or no?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know yet. I hadn't got that far.
All right. I think you have, but that's okay. You can withhold information. Just remember, eventually it's all going to come back and I'm going to have something to them. Yeah, it's all right. Luke, good to talk to you, bud. Congratulations, and I'll see you soon. Sir.
Thanks, buddy.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident, drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A Northern Virginia man and his 3-year-old grandson have just wrapped up a month-long random acts of kindness tour. How about that? Takes his grandson. And they go all around and do a kindness tour. The man came into an unexpected inheritance, and he's like, I don't need this. So he decided to share it with people who were struggling. For 1 month, George and his grandson, Miles, handed out $100 a day with a note that read, please accept this random act of kindness. If you don't need it, feel free to share it with others.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't the greatest part, though, that he traveled forever with his grandson and, like, took him out?
Yeah.
That's great, too. Hey, that's a fantastic story. And who doesn't need an inheritance? I read that, too, and was like, realize you didn't need it. Wow.
I need it.
You must be doing pretty good, buddy. All right, that's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Angela in Kentucky is on the phone. Angela, what's going on?
I was wondering, since Chris Young and Kane Brown have a song about famous friends, do you ever get starstruck by anyone? Because you know a lot of famous people.
Starstruck. The people I get starstruck by now are the people that I thought was a star when I was a kid. Like, honestly, my life now has taken a weird turn where I went from somebody in a trailer park to now I get to hang out and do really cool things. And so it's not lost on me. And I'm always in this weird place too. Like, how much do I share? Because I would share it all with you, but then people go, oh, look, he's changed. He's all fancy pants. Well, I'm trying to walk this line the right way. That's, I want you guys to actually experience my life with me, because listen, there was no privilege for me. Like, I kind of figured this out with you guys. And so I want to share it with you, but I don't want to share too much. But that being said, who do I get starstruck by? Once I got on an airplane and sat between Barry Switzer, who was the Oklahoma head football coach, was from Arkansas, played on the Arkansas National Championship team, and Eddie Sutton. And I sat between them on the Southwest Airlines flight. Completely starstruck. Because to me, that's crazy. I have a friend named Quinn Grovey, who's a buddy now, but he was quarterback of the Arkansas Razorbacks when I was like 9 and 10 years old in the Southwest Conference. I get starstruck. Eddie met him at a Razorback football game.
I've seen you geek over him.
And I was like, there's Quinn Grovey. And Eddie's like, I don't know who that is. So it's always people from my childhood that I geek out over. The first time I met Garth Brooks, obviously.
Yes.
When the nut came in.
Chestnut.
Oh. Yeah.
Mark Chestnut.
When Mark Chestnut came in. Well, I was like, holy cow. So for me, Angela, that's what it is that it's people that I felt, because honestly, famous people now are probably, you know, in worse shape than normal folks are. You just don't know it. You know, they're going through the same struggle, that's sometimes right. More. But I appreciate that question. That's a really good question. Thanks for asking that.
All right. Well, it was good talking to you.
Who's the most starstruck you've ever been, Amy?
Oh, man. Probably Amy Grant's up there when she came in.
Why?
Well,
because you were a kid.
She was my first concert that I ever went to, and I just loved her music. So now meeting her as an adult, it's crazy.
Eddie?
Garth Brooks, even when he comes in still to this day, like I just stare at him like, oh my gosh, that's freaking Garth Brooks.
Yeah, you should stop that.
Yeah.
Breathe. Just the staring thing.
A little awkward, yeah.
Lunchbox?
Johnny Bananas. When I met him at the bar, I was just like in awe, just so freaked out. And I geeked, just kept diarrhea of the mouth, just telling him everything. And I didn't let him talk. And it was just so awkward. And then I think I kind of scared him. But yeah.
Isn't it weird? Because you would have no idea who Quinn Grovey is.
I have no
idea who Johnny Bananas is.
Right.
If I saw him, I'd be like, hey, there's a guy, you know? And it's also like everybody can find a little bit of whatever this fame thing is now. Just get a bunch of Instagram followers and specialize in bananas or, you know, slam poetry. Or then people will start to follow you and think you're famous if they see you in a store. I was with Amy once at some kind of organic restaurant in California. And some woman walked in and Amy's like, oh my goodness, that's Kathy Johnston. And I'm like, okay.
Who's Kathy Johnston?
No, it was Kimberly Snyder. And I used to be obsessed with her smoothies. And I followed her on Instagram. And I felt like I knew her, but I'd read some of her books. And then there she was in person. And I did kind of.
I think I went up to her because
Yes, yes. And Bobby said, hi. My friend is a fan. Can she get a picture? So then we took a picture with her. And.
And Amy's still embarrassed right now.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to talk to her.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was, I was like, she's just a person. She's in the back of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Morgan, who are you starstruck by?
It was Shania Twain, but that's because it was on my first day working for the show and y'all brought Shania Twain in, who is like my idol. And I'm sitting there like, this is not happening to me right now.
Morgan's day one. She's like, well, this is normal. Shania comes in. Yeah, that's cool, huh?
Yeah, that was a really cool moment. Shania Twain and Dolly Parton probably are the two that I really was starstruck over.
Dolly, too. Dolly comes in.
Oh, yeah.
And again, crazy. I'm so jaded now. I've done like 7 things with Dolly. And she's the best all the time. And so now I'm just like, hey, Dolly, what's up? But the first couple of times, I'm just like, this is nuts. Because me at 7 years old wouldn't get to ever meet Dolly Parton. But yeah, Dolly and Garth are two people, though, that are even better in person than you would think they would be. And you would already have high expectations on them both. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Reba. Mm-hmm. Reba's the same way.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome.
Garth is impressive when you see him interact with people because he will stop and come over to your set, like wherever you are. Like he came around the studio and he'll go from like desk to desk and be like, hey, how's it going? Like, you know, and we have brand new artists that don't even take the time to do that.
Here's the difference. You ready for this?
Yes.
Brand new artists are usually not near as nice as people who have already made it. And I mean brand new, like artists with a hit. If you're brand new, you're just sucking up trying to get anybody to play your song.
Oh, yeah.
But once you get that first hit, you start to get a little cocky. And you also start to wonder, all right, am I going to make it? So I got to really present myself as someone that's a star. I got to act like a star. And what we've been taught is stars come in like divas and they demand stuff. And so Garth Brooks is someone who has made it. He knows he has nothing to prove. There's a reason Tim McGraw gets here 20 minutes early.
Yeah.
He has nothing to prove. He's just a guy that's going to get here. He's made it. He made it for a reason. Sure, I'll be early. I'll hang out. No problem. But you get, let's call him Simon Wilson. Simon Wilson comes in. He's got one, maybe two hits. He's still trying to prove himself. I'm a star. People need to treat me like a star. So I might be 5 minutes late. I might say I need this or that. It's like soap opera actor versus major star.
Oh, yeah.
And so until you kind of break that next level, you go from super nice when you're young and no hits to kind of, you know, D-bag early, then really cool again. That's kind of the cycle. And I've seen some of my friends do that. Heck, I've probably done that. You know, where I was like, oh, anybody? And then I'm like, oh, look at me. And now I'm like, who cares? Let's all go. Raymundo, anybody ever been starstruck by?
Steven Tyler when he came in studio.
That's a great one, too.
Yeah.
Me, too.
Also so nice.
Me, too. He came in. I was like, I have a picture of him talking to me in studio. And I'm like, this is crazy. I get to talk to lead singer of Aerosmith.
And he talks how he sings.
He showed us. Ow! Hey, nice to meet you. Ow! All right. Hey, Angela, hope you have a great day. Thank you for calling the show.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. That's a good one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to play Easy Trivia. Here we go. Amy, you're up first. If you freeze water, what do you get?
You get ice.
Ice is correct. That's
yeah.
Right. By the way, Amy has 3 wins on the season. The first person to 5 wins wins the tiara to display proudly in front of them. Amy, tell us something about yourself.
Well, I recently was scammed by a cat person.
That's
and
true.
Sent a deposit because my daughter wanted a cat for Christmas. And here we are, what, like 6 months later? Still no cat and still no money back.
There she is, Amy. Lunchbox, what is something you hit with a hammer?
A nail.
A nail is right.
Yeah.
Nice job. Eddie.
Come on.
By the way, Lunchbox, you have 3 wins.
Yes.
If you win, you're one step away from that tiara, which looks fancy. It looks like it's full of diamonds.
Oh, nice. Real diamonds?
No, it's like $20. Eddie, what's the name of the place you go to see a lot of animals?
Ooh, that would be called the zoo.
That's right. That's the zoo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got that right. And finally, Morgan, whose nose grew longer every time he lied?
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio. That's right. Everybody through. Morgan. Sorry, I skipped the guys here. Tell us something interesting about yourself.
Well, lately I've been getting really excited for bedtime because I take melatonin gummies and they make me feel like a little kid again. So that's been fun.
Weird.
A kid again?
Yeah, like, you know,
gummy,
when you used
or
to take...
Do they work?
Yeah, they work. Oh, yeah, I pass out really hard.
They work for me. I take the ZzzQuil.
Wonderful.
And nothing affects me anymore. ZzzQuil knocks me out.
Mm-hmm.
I take a serving size, too. And then I don't remember what happened.
Just one serving size?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can take too much melatonin and it'll make you feel really groggy.
That ZzzQuil is awesome. I don't have any kind of hangover either when I wake up.
No, I wake up feeling great. Slept like a baby.
Well, Amy, 3. Lunchbox, 3. Morgan, number 2, 3. Eddie, 2 points.
Wow, I got to step it up.
All right, if you miss the next question, guys, you can be eliminated. What you don't want to hear is this noise right here.
You've been boned.
There you go, guys. Amy, what colors are the stars on the American flag?
They're white.
Correct. Lunchbox, which superhero can climb up walls and buildings?
Oh, Spider-Man.
Correct. Eddie, in sports, what does MVP stand for?
Most valuable player.
Correct. Morgan, what country is the home to the kangaroo?
Australia.
Australia is correct. You're all on to the next round. Nice job. Woo. They get a little bit harder. Amy, how many planets are in our solar system, not including Pluto?
Okay. My very energetic mother just served us 9 pizzas. But the P is that Pluto? So it's 8.
There you go. 8 is right.
Nice work.
Lunchbox, which ocean is off the east coast of the United States?
Atlantic.
Correct. Eddie, what's the largest mammal in the world?
Tricky.
Yeah, this is tricky. Because whales get pretty darn big. Elephants are big too, though. Rhinoceroses are pretty big.
Okay, we're going to walk through every large animal.
Give me the whale. They're
whale
pretty big.
Whale is correct. Nice. Yeah. Hey, Morgan, what color is an emerald?
Green.
Green. Nice job. Everybody's on to the next round. Okay, Amy, a scientist who studies rocks is called a what?
It's genealogy. So, is it genealogist? Genealogist? Yep.
What's your answer?
genealogist?
A genealogist.
Oh, no!
You've been booed.
A genealogist? What is it?
Geologist.
Why'd I do that? I knew that wasn't right.
Geology, geologist.
What's so, genealogy? The study
I don't,
of
stop.
What?
I don't even know. I don't
genealogy
even,
is like generations.
Yeah. Like, why did I do that?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Amy. You've been boned. When you've been boned, you got to keep your mouth shut.
I know.
That sounds terrible.
But it's awful.
Lunchbox, on a farm, a kid is a baby what? Oh. Do you know it, Miss Bone?
I do.
Yeah. On a farm, a kid.
Oh my gosh.
Is a baby what?
Ah! Kid.
Need an answer?
Lamb.
Incorrect. I'm an idiot. Let's bone him.
You've been boned.
Donkey.
Donkey?
Yeah, is it a donkey?
No, it's a goat.
It's a goat.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a donkey. Oh, my bad.
Lunchbox, you've been boned.
I'd have missed that too.
Eddie, if you suffer from arachnophobia, what animal are you scared of?
Thank goodness for that movie back in the 80s. Spiders.
Spiders is correct. Morgan, who was the 16th president of the
United States?
Come
on. Yes. I don't know.
The 16th president.
There's so many presidents.
That's true. There are a lot.
Eddie, stop
egging
her on.
I don't want Eddie to get a win. Oh, come on.
I don't think this is a hard question, honestly. It just goes to show you, we know our lanes. I would have thought this was like a round one.
Oh,
round
I feel
two.
Like this is like so easy.
Okay, just making sure I'm not the only one who thinks that. Morgan, who is the 16th president?
I'm trying to go through all of them.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we don't have that much time.
I know. What are we on now? Like 53, 54?
You got 5 seconds, Morgan?
I don't even think this is a... Oh, my gosh. JFK!
Oh, JFK. No.
JFK.
You've been booed.
The 16th president was...
Abraham Lincoln!
What? Yeah. I thought he was like 2 or 4 or something early.
Oh, my goodness.
Adams.
Eddie, you just tied it up at 3-3-3-3.
Let's go!
There he is, Eddie.
Yeah! What?
That was just... You
what?
What? Are you complaining about?
I won fair
I gave her
and square.
She had an easy question.
Oh, I know. I'm just like, that was just the easiest round.
Genealogy.
I mean, Eddie got... Those are the easiest
Genealogy.
Win.
Genealogy.
I know. I'm mad at myself, but... I feel like
but
congratulations.
Thank you. There we go. Thank
good
you.
Job.
Hey, I'm going to say a lot of hateful stuff, but congratulations.
No, I mean,
you got to it, though.
There's thank our
you.
Winner, Eddie. Yay! It's all 3-3-3-3.
All right.
That is how we play Easy Trivia.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Green, Maine. A 32-year-old man went to the bank drive-thru, cashes his paychecks, all excited, driving out, counting his money, not paying attention to the road, goes off, hits a mailbox, down an embankment, flips the car, and totals his truck.
No.
Because he was
counting his paycheck. He was counting the money. He wasn't paying attention to the road. He goes, man, I just got excited and started counting those dollar bills.
Oh, boy.
It's probably pull over, right? Or do it before you start driving.
I know. I feel like even this person would admit they were a bonehead.
But he's okay.
He just had a bump on his head and a sore back, and he said he's going to replace their mailbox.
Okay. And he had to pay all his money to get that bump.
All that money he was getting.
Yeah,
all that
money.
All right.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
All right, now time for Flashback Friday.
Flashback Friday!
The year is 1997. I believe that is the year Eddie graduated high school.
Seniors, McCallum Memorial Mustangs.
Woo! I was 1 year behind you. Amy is 1 year behind us. 1997 is the year the number one country song at this time was Garth Brooks' Long Neck Bottle.
Long Neck Bottle.
Yeah.
The jam. Pretty underappreciated when it comes to Garth songs.
I don't think it's on any top 10 list, which is crazy.
But I do like it a lot. And I like the
long
neck, but it's just
we should cover that.
Yeah. The biggest news story, Timothy McVeigh was convicted of murder and conspiracy in the Oklahoma City bombing. He was charged with 15 counts of murder and conspiracy for his role in the 1995 terrorist bombing of the federal building. One of the craziest things was, you know, the building blows up. And it blows off the license plate
of the van.
And so they pull him over later because he has a missing license plate. And they put him in jail for other things. And they're all, by the way, they're looking for the bomber. And finally, they're like, hey, I think we got him in our prison already. Like, they only pulled him over because he was missing a license plate from the explosion as he was driving out of town. And that's how they got him. He was never on the run because they already had him holed up. Also, the biggest pop song was Notorious B.I.G. Hypnotize. Come on. Sicker than your average. Pop a twist cabbage off instinct. Just don't think stink pink gators. That was 1997. Amy, what's going on this weekend with you?
I
Just kind of low key. Actually, I might be going to see my brother this weekend, but I'm not 100% sure yet. I'll be making that decision tomorrow.
Like in Tampa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, flights are like so cheap. I literally can make the decision tonight and I have Southwest points. And so we're just working on some stuff for my dad's, you know, there's still loose ends to tie up. So I figure I might as well go see him in person. But what about you?
Kaylin's sister's getting married. So
oh, yeah, that's right.
Going to have that wedding. And then I'm going to go watch Arkansas play baseball tomorrow. So I'm going
to
go
watch. You're going to go to the game?
Yeah, it's a super regional. Yeah. I go to the second game. Hopefully they win today and then they can clinch tomorrow. Oh, but either way, I'll be there tomorrow.
Nice.
And then be back Sunday. So yeah, pretty good weekend. Eddie, you?
My family comes back in town. They've been out for about 2 weeks now. So life's about to be normal again.
Oh, your family.
My family. They've been in Texas for 2 weeks.
You've been at home? You've had a house by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm doing like long walks to train for my West Virginia down Tennessee walk that I really have no time in the day. Like, it's crazy. My wife's like, you've been missing us? Like, I've been busy. I miss you guys, but I've been really busy.
Have you been looking forward to that walk or no?
No, not really. My feet are starting to hurt.
Are you dreading walking from West Virginia to Tennessee?
I feel like it's going to be a lot more work than I think. So I'm kind of dreading that part. I don't know. I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm just a little worried that it's going to hurt.
We're almost there.
I know.
Like a week and 2 days.
I know.
And you're going to be walking West Virginia to Tennessee.
Like, I know, man. And I love to walk, but my bones are just like, they're not what they used to be. So I'm just worried that I don't pull something or break anything.
But if you pull something walking, we will never let you live that.
But I'm going through mountains, guys. Remember that part.
You're still walking.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we'll see you guys. Have a great weekend. See you Monday. On Monday's show, Chase Beckham, the American Idol winner, will be on performing. Also, Old Dominion on Tuesday. See you guys. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones Show.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.